good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you once again on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for over 30 years now. Can you believe it? And that's because of my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, serving all of Southwest Florida. And then my friends up at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area, on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then WTMR 800 AM, where my good friends are up there serving the New Jersey and Philadelphia area. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for coming with us to sit at the feet of the Lord and let Him speak to us heart to heart. And if you've been with us, you know that we just started a monthly series under the big topic of how the Lord is our deeper dive. He is our deeper dive. That's the portrait of God that we're going over this month. And actually, this is a unique because the five takeaways from this portrait of God are actually five additional portraits of God. And as you've already begun to realize, I see all of Scripture is filled with these portraits of God so we could know His heart and know His mind and know His ways so much better. It's all about knowing God. And these portraits are a great way to fall in love with the Lord more and more. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be going over to Mark chapter 10 and to continue our journey through this portrait of God about how He is our deeper dive. And as you're making your way there, just a quick reminder that all of these messages are archived on my website. That's at markpg.org. Just click on the gray box that says Broadcasts. And then on the next landing page, click on the box that says Portraits of God, and then you'll have a list of all of these that I've been doing for so long. Also, by the way, on that first landing page are other boxes that have, for example, videos, 3-minute videos on the Portraits of God, some devotionals there. It also has some printed guides in another box with all kinds of outlines that will help you regarding some controversial topics we deal with in Christendom, and also some topical character qualities that the Scripture talks about. There's another box that has articles that I've written for publications in this area. So you can check those out. All of them have one purpose. It's to help you hear God. So check it out at markpg.org for all of those free resources. So it's our custom to go before the Lord to ask Him to speak before we begin our journey together on these Saturday mornings, sometimes Sunday mornings too, on some of the stations. So let's go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Lord, I just love coming together with my brothers and sisters. I love sitting at Your feet with them. I love listening for Your heart, Your voice, especially as we are covering this particular portrait on how You are our deeper dive. Oh, Lord, I pray that I will be able to do this topic justice. The particular portrait we'll dive into today, I pray I'll be able to share it in a way that will really transform the way we relate to You as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ once we've been saved. So thank You, Lord, for this journey we're taking together, and for being a God who loves to speak to us. Oh, we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen, amen, and amen. Well, my friends, if you have your Bible, you might want to turn it over to Mark chapter 10. We're going to pick it up in verse 13. But just a quick reminder that the overarching passage and the overarching portrait that we're covering about Jesus being our deeper dive, I pick it up out of Psalm 42, verses 1 through 2, and then verses 5 through 7. It says this: "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for You, God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Why are You in despair, my soul? Why are You restless within me?" Oh, deep calls to deep. So here's the thing. When you find yourself going through some deep times, deep heartaches, deep disappointments, deep betrayals, deep confusion, deep disorientation, deep darkness, whatever it is, no matter how deep your valleys, my friend, the Lord is deeper still. And those deep aches within you calls to the deep of the Lord Jesus himself. And this series for this month, we're in number 2 of 5. This is covering how when we get saved, we're just starting to getting to know the Lord and the depths of his heart and ways. And last time we talked about how our entry point is how the Lord, our deeper dive, like Moses discovered at the burning bush when he asked his name, God said, I am who I am. It meant I am whatever you need to be, whatever you need me to be. I am for you. So we begin our journey with the Lord by recognizing we are downcast sheep, like sheep without a shepherd. It tells us that in Matthew chapter 9. We're blind, we're captive by the enemy, blinded by the God of this world, in desperate need of a merciful Savior. And that's the first under the big category of how he is our deeper dive. Level 1, depth 1 is he is our merciful Savior. And when we come to Christ, that's how we know him. And a spirit of gratefulness just overwhelms us because he is our Prince Charming. But we're not the Cinderella who deserves to be married. We're the evil stepsisters who desperately need to be married to him. So that's what we covered last time. And again, you can find that at markpg.org. Now we continue our journey. And I take you over to Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 14, where we're going to see another portrait of God that takes us the next level deeper into our discovery of the depths of the Lord as we take our deeper dive, because he is our deeper dive. Listen to this in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 14, my friends. The Bible says this, and they were bringing children to him so that he would touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, oh, allow the children to come to me. Do not forbid them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. What an incredible picture. What an incredible portrait of the Lord as our gentle teacher. So if you're a note taker, under the big umbrella of how he is our deeper dive. Depth number 1, which we covered last time, is that he is our merciful Savior. That's another portrait. Now this one is he is our gentle teacher. When we grow into the Lord more and more, the next level we tend to focus on is how he is our gentle teacher. How do I pick this up from Mark chapter 10? Well, first of all, we start with two nouns. He's talking about the children. The children were being brought to him, and the disciples rebuked him. So there's two groups of people that Jesus is dealing with here, his children and his disciples. My friend, when we get saved, when we get born again, when we're adopted as his sons and daughters, we're God's children in this particular metaphor. He also says, later in this passage, the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these, that is, those who are childlike. By the way, don't confuse that with childish. Childish is to throw temper tantrums and that type of stuff. No, we're not talking about being childish. But childlike is the innocent, trusting joy of a child. A child reflexively trusts those that are taking care of him or her. And these children that day wanted to come to be with Jesus, and the disciples, thinking like some adults, saying, oh, get those noisy children out of here. This is Jesus. This is the Savior. He's got business to do here. Get them out of here. Get them out of here. They're going to be disruptive. And Jesus going, hello. Wait a minute, guys. I love the kids. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. I love that song, right? Takes us all back if we grew up in the church. He said, no, bring them on. They have a trust. I love that simple trust that they have in me. Let them come to me. Don't forbid them. In fact, fellas, disciples, adults, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. He didn't say belong to these. Such as these, those who are childlike. The disciples were botching it right and left. He had all kinds of personality types and backgrounds represented in those he selected to be his disciples. They all had these adult sensibilities, like keeping the children away, or some did. And this was always at play. Jesus was always having to teach them a different way. And isn't it true that the Lord's ways are counterintuitive to that which we typically tend to reflexively think and believe and act upon, like the disciples did that day? Noisy children in the middle of church, get them out of here. Wait a minute. The children need to hear this too. The Lord loves the children. Now, I know there's a balance in there. We know that. By the way, just as a footnote, when I was pastoring for over 35 years before I became an overseer of our churches here in Southwest Florida, I loved doing the children's sermon every Sunday. I would gather them in the middle of the service at our church. All the children would be with their parents at the beginning when we were singing and praising the Lord. We thought it was important for them to see their parents worshiping the Lord, modeling what it is to worship the Lord, and then we'd have our the prayer for the offering, and then also a prayer. Our visitation time, where you visit the people around you, you know, traveling around and shaking hands with those that are visiting. And I'd always say, well, while you're greeting each other in the name of the Lord, let the children come up for their story time. And oh, they'd run up and sit at my feet, and I'd get to tell them the story. And the story was always related to the sermon I was about to preach. And after I shared the story with them, and I'd have an image up on screen of some kind of a beautiful, you know, some kind of a picture, a cartoon, whatever it was, on the story I was telling. And then we'd give them a little handout bulletin that had pictures that they had done last time. We'd select two of the pictures from last time to be the covers of this bulletin, but this picture had to relate to the story I told. And they loved those little bulletins. They loved that story. And from there, from sitting at my feet, as I get to share with them as their pastor, then we'd send them off for the second half of the service to our children's church. So we tried to balance the best of both worlds, worshiping alongside their parents in big church, singing the songs, doing the things where their restlessness perhaps and mobility wouldn't be too disruptive. And yet they'd have their special time from their lead pastor, and then they'd go off for their children's church. Love that. And for me, when I was pastoring, this was my way of applying this passage to let the children come to me and unto the Lord, not forbid them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And I also have to tell you, I had so many adults telling me, I gotta confess, I love those children's stories. They really helped me understand the sermon. So, the Lord is our gentle teacher, and he was helping the disciples that day see, look, guys, I'd like for you to be like these children, trusting, ready to gather, ready to listen, enjoying life. And because of that, the Lord is not our harsh professor. He is our gentle teacher. Why? Because children, whether they're literal children or spiritual children like the disciples were at that time, the gentle teacher loves to help us understand his ways and his heart more and more gently. We're going to cover that more in the next one next week. But I want you to get the feel for this, my friends, how the Lord, our deeper dive, is introduced to us first as our merciful Savior when he saves us as downcast sheep that will die unless we're set right side up. But he's also our gentle teacher. Now let me drill down further into this. So the scripture tells us that when we're young in the Lord, we need milk. and not solid food. Solid food is for the mature who practice the ways of God. So in our journey with the Lord, we begin our discipleship with the basics, with the milk. Babies need milk. They cannot handle meat. And so this reminds me of how there's three kinds of discipleship that I've come to understand through the scriptures and in real life. There's curriculum discipleship, and this is great for milk, to help new believers get the basics of the Christian life. You have some little fill-in-the-blanks things, maybe thematically or topically arranged and stuff, and it helps them get the basics of the Christian life, the core doctrines of the faith, the core beliefs of the faith. As we get older, we're going to need more and more meat. But here's the thing. There's curriculum discipleship, which is a great starting place for knowing more and more about the Lord. But then there's relationship discipleship, all right? You got curriculum discipleship, and then relationship discipleship. Then we're going to see mentoring discipleship. Relational discipleship is informal. It is building godly relationships with people that we trust. It's doing life together, comparing notes, sharing hearts of our journey, and having those kinds of relationships in the local church or in your neighborhood or in your family that you can talk about the things of God reflexively and transparently. And oh, that's a great kind of discipleship. I hope you have some friends that you can do life with and talk about the things of God together. I hope your family, mom and dad and kids, can talk about the things of God freely, easily, naturally, not heavily at all. Now, we have curriculum discipleship, fill in the blanks. It's a printed version. That's a good beginning point. But then you want to develop the informal relational discipleship thing. But then there's a mentoring discipleship, and that can be informal or formal. This is when you have an obvious mentor or a Paul, and then an obvious mentee or a Timothy. Paul-Timothy relationship, somebody that will mentor you. Yeah, I love mentoring young pastors. I've been doing this for 40 years. I've learned a lot of things, a lot from my mistakes and then just from my experiences. And some of these young men, they want to know more. Others think they kind of have it. And then you kind of give them a little breathing space to kind of get a few more bumps and bruises before they learn that they need to seek some counsel from those who've been a little further down the road than they are. That's mentoring discipleship. And I hope you have someone in your life who's a formal, maybe you've expressed it. Will you be my mentor for the next 6 months? You know, if it's a pastor or professor that you're seeking some time with, or an informal mentoring discipleship, a grandfather or a father or an older brother in the church that can help you, whoever, a pastor, an associate pastor, whoever. And ladies, same thing, older women in the Lord who walking with the Lord, who can mentor you as young moms, young ladies, and all that. So I'm a big believer in how the Lord, our gentle teacher, uses these three types of discipleship: curriculum discipleship, relational discipleship, and mentoring discipleship. And it's through those relational connections and discipleship relationships that we go into the meat of the Word, the deeper things of the Lord. And this is also where we pick up how the disciples called him rabbi, which means teacher. And teacher, well, you know, and they were following around, they were hanging on every word of what he had to say, because it was obvious that he was the mentor, the teacher, the rabbi. And they were the ones to listen and to soak in and to learn and then to practice as he sent them out two by two. Isn't it fascinating? All right, so we have milk, we have meat, the gentle teacher uses those two things, all those discipleship types, those three I gave with you as our rabbi. We get to sit at the feet of the Lord and just let him speak to us. But now I want to drill even deeper, because this, now follow me there, this might surprise you what I'm about to dive into right now, but I told you we're going to be going deeper and deeper. Now, here's what I want us to kind of put our head around for just a moment. This particular passage is making a big deal. Jesus is clearly saying that the kingdom of God, that would be the ways of God, the truths of God, the heart of God, belongs to such as these, childlike people. The scripture talks about how some of the things of God confound the wise, so he's given them, quote, to fools, but not really like foolish people, but to simple people, to trusting people. This gets us into a discussion about trying to follow the Lord primarily from the head or primarily from the heart or maybe equal parts of both. How does that work? Well, let's unpack that. You know, we had the period of the Enlightenment, which shifted us as a global culture toward reason. Western civilization is built a lot upon the Enlightenment and the presupposition that we can think through and reason through and use our intellect and academics and our mind to find truth, and the truth shall set us free. In fact, I went to the University of Texas at Austin. I was born and raised in Austin, Texas. Hook 'em horns, go Longhorns, all that. And on the university tower, where the big library was initially there, now there are many libraries on that campus. But when I was there many, many years ago on campus, it said, "The truth shall set you free," is what's on the beautiful University of Texas tower, clock tower there on campus. It's beautiful. But there was one problem. The truth, as in academic truth, is not what sets us free. It's a good tool. It's nice to do and have, but that doesn't set us free. The truth that sets us free is truth with a big T, and he has a name. His name is Jesus. He is our rabbi. He's the one who sets us free. I went off to seminary after being at the University of Texas, and there we studied doctrine, we studied theology, all kinds of theology, biblical theology. Then there's systematic theology, and then there's denominational theologies, and then there's heretical theologies and cult theologies, you know, and all that. We also talked about hermeneutics, the art of interpreting the scripture. We looked at history and all the creeds that have been created over the years by different councils and different denominations and all. Now, was that a waste of time? No. But is that the focal point of Christianity? No. Yeah, you heard me right. Think about it for a moment. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these, children. I do believe there are some that are called to go into the deeper academic things of the scripture and get into hermeneutics and get into all the different theologies and all, discover that there are so many different perspectives. I'll be honest, when I went in my first year to seminary, I thought, this is great, Lord, I'm going to learn all these things, I'm going to be crystal clear, and then I'll be able to help others. But with every new thing I learned about the Lord, there were five new questions I hadn't even thought of that came up. And listen to me very carefully. With that ratio, one new thing learned, five new questions unanswered, the distance between what I don't know about the Lord and what I do know about the Lord grew wider. I thought it would close the gap because of being at seminary. It doesn't. It just gives you more questions. And there are more variables and more perspectives. In preaching class, they said, here's a passage, John 20, as I recall. And I want you guys to exegete it and use the commentaries and come up with sermon outlines. And then next week, we're going to put them all on the board. There's 45 of us. And I thought, what a waste of time. We're going to get 45 identical sermons from this passage. Do you think that happened? Absolutely not. There were 45 very different outlines from the same passage. Why? Because we come from all different backgrounds, all different kinds of baggage. There's hermeneutics. I didn't want to even go on. It's very complex. But the thing is this, we have to allow for different perspectives. And it's going to be that way. Always will be. There's a simplicity on the way to complexity. But the simplicity before the complexity, it's not where you want to be. Be aware of the complexity, but then watch how it circles back to a simplicity of just trusting Jesus and going to the scripture and in heart, letting him speak to you by his Holy Spirit. Technically, we call this the existential side of Christianity, or the mystical side of Christianity, the heart side of Christianity in our hermeneutics or interpretation. Draw a line on the paper on the one pole on one side, put down the existential side, the subjective side, the heart side. The scripture says in Romans 14, let each be convinced in their own heart and minds before the Lord. One eats the meat as unto the Lord, the other doesn't eat the meat as unto the Lord. Different conclusions, but the same heart to honor the Lord. That's the simplicity on the other side of complexity. It's okay to have differences. Are you dealing with controversies in your church? Controversies in your denomination? Well, of course you are, because we're all so different. 45 messages came out of that same passage that day, and that was just my class. There were four other classes that day. So you can quadruple the number of sermon outlines that came out of that one passage. Of course there's going to be differences. Don't panic. But on the academic side, there are some basics that are non-negotiable, you know, the Christology, who is Christ, who is God, what is salvation, what is the sufficiency of Scripture. There's some good cardinal doctrine basics, but there's a whole lot where there are varying perspectives, different perspectives on the second coming, and so on and so forth. There's many. But the gentle teacher has a way of bringing us along. And we should do likewise in the midst of controversy. Give people breathing space to interpret things before the Lord, heart to heart with Him. Well, Lord, thank you so much for this journey. We love that you are a gentle teacher. Thank you, Lord, for being that to us as we go deeper and deeper into who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Oh, make sure and check out markpg.org for more. Till next time, fall in love with Jesus, your gentle teacher.